Now today, our Bible study will take us to the last book of the Bible, the book that is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I am doing this by popular demand. The great number of our listeners have asked that we would give some lessons on this final book of the Bible. It appears that there is a great interest at this time in the revelation of the Bible concerning the last days. Let us read then the first 8 verses of the first chapter of the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, and to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that we are able to take Thy Word and to read it, not only privately in our own homes, but able to read it publicly, and able to read it over the airwaves, so that Thy Word may enter into other homes. O God, we pray even now that where Thy Word has entered, there will be a blessing. We pray that it may enter not only into homes, but may enter into the hearts of the people who live in the homes, that men and women will be blessed with the great blessing of salvation. Hear us in these things, honor Thy beloved Son, and exalt him through this ministry for his own name's sake. Amen. Now, it is an amazing thing that this book, called the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, has been and still is a neglected book. Now, by way of introduction, let me say, a considerable portion of the Bible is devoted to revealing the program for the end time. For example, if you were to read back in the book of Daniel, and in particular read chapter 2, and then chapter 7 through 12 of that wonderful book, you'll find it is prophetic, setting before us certain details regarding the end time. Also, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, there you have the great thread of prophecy, which is developed in the book of Revelation. Then when you come to this book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, from chapter 6 through to chapter 22, it is a prophetic book speaking of things to come. When studying the doctrine of last things, it is a sound principle to remember that God alone can foretell the future. Now let me repeat that. Let it sink into your heart today, my friend, that God alone can foretell the future. Now the devil cannot foretell the future. He only knows what God has revealed. Although we must admit, the devil knows a lot more than we know. But he only knows about the future what God has revealed. And these people who profess to be able to read the future out of the crystal ball, remember, they cannot forecast the future. They may guess. Sometimes their guess may be right and it may be wrong. But remember this, they cannot tell with any accuracy or with any assurance what the future holds. Only God can foretell the future. So we're reading here what is God's book. And we're reading here what God has revealed, because remember, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, since God is the absolute sovereign and knows all things, he can speak with absolute certainty about the past, and the present, and the future. Men, of course, may offer their opinions, and then these same men may apologize for their miscalculations, or they may modify their views, but not so with God, because God can never be wrong. God never has and never will make a mistake. God is infallible. Now, it's good to keep this in mind when you're thinking of the future, because there have been good men who have been mistaken. There have been men who have miscalculated, and they have made great statements, and the time has come round and has proved that their statements were wrong. And that's the reason I say that many of them have had to apologize for their miscalculations. But God has never miscalculated. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, God has spoken about the future. And the Holy Scriptures present the exclusive prophetic communication from God. Will I repeat that? The Holy Scriptures, that book you call the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that is God's book. The Holy Scriptures, given by inspiration of God. And that book you call the Bible presents to us the exclusive prophetic communication from God. Other books may make claims. There's no other book in the world today that can speak with authority and say, "Thus saith the Lord." The Bible, and the Bible alone, is the prophetic communication from God. And therefore, by faith, we accept what God has said. It is God's word and is given with absolute authority. Now, because of the gravity of world conditions and the dread of what could happen, the book of Revelation has a peculiar and interesting claim upon every genuine Christian, and we should give our attention to the study of this wonderful book. This book is the last word of the Holy Spirit, and reveals the last work of the Holy God. It is termed the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now a thing that is revealed is not concealed. It's revealed, it's opened out. You see, if a thing has been revealed, it's no longer hidden from us. Now, any observant reader of that last book of the Bible will note that in that book there is an open door. Chapter 4. Then you have an open book. And then you have an open heaven. In the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we have the commencement of prophecy. While in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we have the consummation of prophecy. It does seem a little strange that this book should be so neglected and left unread and unstudied. When it promises a blessing to those who read it, and those who hear it, and obey its truths. Also, there are warnings in the book against taking from its teachings or adding to them. Therefore, we ought to be very careful and very diligent and anxious to know what is really taught in the book of Revelation. How will you know, my friend, whether you are taking from the book or adding to the book, if you don't know, first of all, what is revealed in the book? You see, it rests upon us to be thorough in our reading and understanding of the book of Revelation. Now, in an age when the foundations of the Christian faith are being assailed by science, falsely so-called, and mere men are assuming to put their suppositions against the revealed truth of God regarding the origin of things, it is encouraging to the Christian to read the book of Revelation and to discover there that God will have the last word. God has planned the end, and someday He will present His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all His glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, while the study of prophecy will give proof of the authority of the Word of God and will reveal the purpose and the power of God and give us the peace and the assurance of God, nevertheless, we will miss the whole purpose of the study of prophecy if it does not conform us to the image of Christ in our daily living and produce in us purity of life. Now, regarding this book of Revelation of 22 chapters, let me tell you this. And if you don't believe what I'm saying now, will you kindly put it to the test? This book of Revelation can be read through in approximately 1 hour and 15 minutes. Actually, I have timed a professional reader reading this book through, and he reads it through in 1 hour and 12 minutes. But I have given you an extra 3 minutes, even if you're just an ordinary reader. You can read through the 22 chapters of Revelation in one sitting in 1 hour and 15 minutes. That is, without stopping to study it. But suppose you perhaps may be a little slower in the reading, and even if it took you an hour and a half to read the book, I'm sure of this, you have spent that time on many an occasion reading something less important. So it's a good thing to sit down and read through the whole of the book at one sitting. Now, let me lay before you a little outline of the book, first of all, give you a little analysis of it. And you'll find this interesting as you read through, if you take a special note. The first 8 verses of chapter 1 That is the section I read to you. Here you have a prologue, a kind of introduction to the book. In this you have the superscription, verses 1 through 3. Then you have a salutation, verses 4 through 8. When you come to verse 9 of chapter 1, and you read from there through to the end of chapter 3, there John sets before us a vision of grace. In that vision of grace, you are introduced to the sovereign Christ. And following that, you have the seven churches, and Christ, the sovereign Christ, moving in all his authority in the midst of the seven churches. These seven churches are named for us. They are representative. There is the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, the church at Sardis, the church at Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea. These we shall study in detail when we deal with chapters 2 and 3. Now, when you come to chapter 4, verse 1, from there right through to verse 10 of chapter 19, which appears to be the main section of the whole book, there you have a vision of government. Now, remember, it was a vision of grace in connection with the seven churches. Now here it's a vision of government dealing with the world. First of all, in chapters 4 and 5, you are introduced to the governors. How could you have a government without a governor? And so therefore you have the governors. In chapter 4, you're introduced to the Almighty. In chapter 5, you're introduced to Him who is the Lion and the Lamb. Then, having introduced us to the governors in chapters 4 and 5, then when you come to chapter 6 and verse 1, right through to verse 10 of chapter 19, there is the record of those who are governed and the form of the government. Now, in connection with the government then, you'll notice this, that there are seven seals to be broken, and each seal, as it is broken, introduces a form of government or a form of judgment. When you come to the seventh seal, that introduces the blowing of the seven trumpets. And each trumpet, as it is blown, brings forth another form of judgment or government upon the sinful world and those men who have rebelled against God. Then, when the seventh trumpet is blown, that introduces us to the time when the seven bowls of God's wrath shall be poured out in judgment upon unrepentant, ungodly men. So your seven seals, leading to the seven trumpets, and concluding with the seven vials. Now, in that particular section, there will be certain explanatory passages in that vision of government. These we shall deal with as we come to them, and perhaps mention each time what is meant by an explanatory passage and what the explanation really is. When you come to verse 11 of chapter 19, and you read from there right through to the verse 5 of chapter 22, there you have a vision of glory. So you've moved from grace to government and on to glory. Now, in connection with that vision of glory, John gives us the picture, the revelation of the millennial age. We shall see the preparation for it, then the duration of it, and the consummation of it. That brings you into chapter 20. Then in chapter 21, there is the New Jerusalem. You shall note the descent of the city, the description of the city, and the delights of the city. And then from verse 6 of chapter 22, right to the end of that chapter, you have what might be called the epilogue, the crowning part of the book. There we find in the summing up of the truths of the book of Revelation, you shall find words of counsel, then words of comfort, and words of caution. Then the whole book finishes with a delightful expression, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So you'll see how necessary it is for a good supply of this grace to be upon those who are going to read and study this book. Now, if you look at the opening verses of the book, first of all, there's what we might call the presentation of the book. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ in His power, His majesty, and His glory. When the Lord Jesus Christ came and was born at Bethlehem in His first advent, He came there in poverty. He was seen in weakness. He was rejected and despised. He was said at naught. Men wouldn't have Him. When you come to the book of the Revelation, He set before us here in all His power, in His majesty and glory. Now, it gives the final answer to that prayer which perhaps you have prayed on many an occasion, or if you haven't prayed the prayer, you've heard it prayed. "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Here is God's answer to that prayer, and in this book you'll discover that His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now, the purpose of the book is this: to show things which must come to pass. That is, there will be things concerning the church that must come to pass. You'll find that in chapters 2 and 3. There are things concerning the nation of Israel that must come to pass. There are things concerning the Gentile nations, and you must learn in all your reading and studying of the Scriptures to distinguish between the church, the nation of Israel, and the Gentile nations. Now, there are the people to whom the book is sent, those who are His servants. That is what is said here in these opening verses. "And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John." It was first given to the servant John to write and pass on to others who take on that character of being servants. And so, if you consider yourself in that category, my friend, and you ought to if you're a Christian, here the book is sent to you. Now, there is the promise of the book to those who read, and to those who hear, and those who keep what is written in the book, for the time is near. Don't you see, my friend, there's a wonderful promise in this book to you if you'll just take time to sit down and read it. 1 hour and 15 minutes you can read through the whole of this book. Why, you could read it once a week if you so desired. And God says there's a promise here of blessing to those who read it, and those who hear it, and those who keep what it says. Then there is the prophecy of the book. We should keep in mind that only God can tell the future. Keep that in mind. But the prophecy is related also with exhortation and comfort. And so, therefore, He speaks concerning here of the prophecies of this book. People say, "How can I know what's going to take place?" Read the book. Read what God has said in His book. And if you do that, my friend, you'll not be in the dark, and you'll not be afraid. You'll rest with absolute confidence in what God has said and God's ability to carry out his own purposes.